The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, Andy Holding here again on Friday, January the 19th with the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. And we've got eight races for you again, once again at Dundalk. The highlight of which comes in the shape of that 7 furlong handicap at 7:30, in which quite a few of these coming here in good form. No more so than Invincible Riker, but we'll deal with that race a little bit later.
Race one.
First and foremost, it's the opener over a mile and a half. Don't normally get the first race with a long distance race, usually a 6 furlong or 5 furlong sprint, but we've got a maiden here to deal with, and quite a competitive little race it is as well. Uncle Henry caught the eye first time out in a race won by Worcester, who's gone on to win subsequently in a handicap. So that form line probably looks the strongest coming into this race. We've got an English raid in the shape of Emerald Cross as well from the Adam West stable, just to add a bit of spice into the proceedings. But the standout one here has to be this Duke of Waspington from the Fozzie Stack stable, who ran a really eye-catching and encouraging race first time out when not particularly well fancied, looking at the betting at 25-1. But I do like the way this horse grasped the nettle inside of the final couple of furlongs, having looked as though he was racing green and not really sure what he was doing down the straight. But he really picked up the bridle close home, and he absolutely charged through the line to suggest that he'll definitely learn from that experience quite considerably next time. And indeed, the step up in trip tonight, given his run style, certainly would suit him. He's got a big, strong physique. He's by Duke of Marmalade, and most of his size offspring tend to improve A with a run and B with a little bit more time. So I do like this Duke of Waspington available, but I'm back around about 6-1 this morning. He looks a great each way bet for us in the first race.
Race two.
On to the second race then. And a little bit of a surprise in some respects that Schindler's Ark is trading at such a short price this morning, around about the 7-4 mark. I thought he ran okay the other day behind Commander One, but I certainly wouldn't want to be taking a real thin one price about this gelding by exchange rate. Let's face it, as of yet, he hasn't really troubled the judge, let's say, too much. Merino Marvel is a very consistent sort, and he's likely to run his race, as his form figures indicate, but he's still 0-14, this fella. So I'd certainly pass him over anyway, around about the 7-2 mark. I do think there's an interesting runner in this race, and it's Keith Clark's Get Go, a 4-year-old who used to be trained by David Lanigan over in the UK. And off the back of a 75-day break on his first run for New Connections, I thought he ran a really eye-catching and promising race when finishing fifth in a very competitive handicap, a much stronger race than this 0-73 category, behind the likes of Pivotal Connection, Miss Snozzy Boots, and the very talented but hitherto frustrating Nimitz. I do like the way he stayed on from the back of the field that day. He was last but one turning in. He ended up finishing fifth, certainly suggesting that a step up in triple definitely suit him. And he's come home time of 35 and change, and an overall circuit time of 2:03.6 were very, very commendable for the grade. Much better than most of these have been achieving. So he's only really got to run that similar sort of race. And it's not as if Keith Clark doesn't know what to do with these middle distance horses, well as Poitin has proved in recent years. So Get Go, hopefully improve for that first run. And actually, I would say that's quite a confident each way vote there in race number two.
Race number three.
On to the 6 o'clock then, and another very competitive looking staying handicap over a mile and a half. Not too many obvious ones here. A lot of these have got shaky profiles. I put up Miss Maribel last time out, it was a bit disappointing. I'd quite like Carvalis here, but he's unfortunately stuck out on the wing in stall 14. Steely Eyed's very consistent, but she's still 0-6 here at Dundalk. So I'm going to take a little bit of a punt that Anthony McCann has got Temasek Star somewhere near his best on his opening run here of the campaign. He's got an amazing record here at Dundalk. He comes out really one of my speed figures. And if it wasn't for the fact that he hasn't run since July, I'd make him quite a confident vote here. He's drawn his stall 3. So that should give Conor McGovern plenty of chance to fill his lungs up and get him a nice run round the inside. But I certainly think he's one of the most talented and consistent horses of this mob. And with that in mind, at 5-1, I'm prepared to have a little bit of a small each-way interest there on Temasek Star.
Race 4.
On to the 6:30 race then, and another wide open contest over a mile and a quarter. But there are a couple of horses here who, on the speed figures, have certainly got a better chance than their odds imply. The one I'd probably be against, and I'm scratching my head to find out why he's as low as 4-1, and that's Zaufu. Based on my numbers, this horse has got an absolute mountain to fight. He's been in two races where the circuit times have been 2:06 and 2:07. Whereas quite a few of these have been running 2:03 and 2:02, particularly Shannon Soul. He's a real 2:02 circuit merchant. His last two runs here behind the likes of Clear Skies, Thunder Speed, and last time out behind Manachin certainly suggests that he's a much better horse than this lot. That he's been running in 0-90s and 0-95s. So he's obviously a class act on his day. Smullen's been booked, and he usually finishes off his races quite well. So he's a really strong choice to go well there. The other one I think is an absolute colossal price here is Here for the Crack, who clocked a really good circuit time, a much better time than Zaufu did. And considering he's racing a furlong and a half further, like I say, he comes out really well on my numbers, at David Budsey's 11-year-old. And prior to that, he'd also run well behind Shannon Soul in that aforementioned race behind Manachin. So I'm not sure why he's a 16-1 shot. Indeed, he probably would have finished a bit closer that night had he not met for interference when getting up ahead of steam up the inside. So my two against the field there, without a shadow of a doubt, are the two numbers horses, Shannon Soul, and a much bigger price here for the Crack at 16-1.
Race 5.
On to race number 5 then, and there's a couple here that are coming in spanking good form, and I'd probably centre around those two, to be fair, in this race. Indian Tomahawk, who has been a model of consistency, generally speaking, throughout the winter, managed to win last time out after looking as though his winning run was coming to an end over a mile and a quarter. But the real eye-catching performance here the last day was by Lady Rosebud from the informed Patrick Martin stable. Absolutely cruised to the front and won without turning a hair, to be fair. Texas Radio, who got beat that day, went on to Frank the Fawn with a good run last week, albeit he got beat as a short price favourite. They were well clear of the rest. The time was okay. Obviously, this horse could have run quicker. And I do notice that back in the day, when she won, she went in again very quickly. So I think connections are quite right to strike while the iron's hot with Lady Rosebud.
Race number 6.
On to the best race of the night then, the 7:30, and really this race revolves around all those horses that took part in the race that Invincible Riker won here a couple of weeks ago. Mickey Halford's charge is 3-3 over the course of distance of 7 furlongs. The only time he got beat was when they tried to stretch him out to a mile. And it doesn't surprise me that this horse has turned into a useful all-weather performer, because his grass, turf form, time figures and performances certainly indicated that given a decent surface, he could be a real money spinner. And that's indeed how it's proved. But back in the field that night, even though this horse was 8th, I do think there was an eye-catching performance by Alcatraz. And I thought on the morning prices, Richard O'Brien's charge was a smidgen of value here. He was very, very well backed in that race at Invincible Riker when he went off 4-1, having been double figure odds in the morning. So clearly connections thought they got a well handicapped horse, and at time will tell that they might be absolutely spot on with that theory. He missed the break by about 10 lengths, so obviously his chance was rendered impossible after a furlong, but he did actually clock some really good time figures and sectionals in isolation, and he only got beat 3 lengths in the end, so he obviously ran way beyond his expectation, considering he missed the break. And surely with a clear level terms break tonight, he must have a great chance of certainly getting in amongst them here tonight. So I'll make Alcatraz a decent each way bet there in race number 6.
Race 7.
On to the 8 o'clock then, quite a wide open contest here, but I was really impressed by the performance of Peter Fahey's filly first time out, Camford Art, who was very well backed to win on debut. And given that she was slowly away and had herself with plenty to do turning for home, her finishing performance was quite eye-catching. She came home in 33 and change. Very, very strong in the finish this horse. So I certainly think stepping up in distance here will definitely suit her. Obviously, she'll improve for the run, one would hope anyway. and with a nice draw as well. And there's sure to be plenty of pace on here because we've got Hello Bridget and several others that like to go from the front. I'd expect her finishing kick to be far too great for the others to cope with there in the 8 o'clock.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, quite a competitive race to finish, and I actually think that there's a couple of horses here who could be a little bit of a cut above from the rest. One of them, unfortunately, has got a terrible draw, and that's Silk Cravat. On the night when Silk Cravat did win here, Brave Display won the other six furlong handicap, and there was an absolute chasm between them on the time figures. This Silk Cravat really did perform up to a good level, sent off even money, had the perfect run throughout from stall number one, and in the end, just about justified favouritism. But the one in to take out of that race was Ploughboy, who stuck out by contrast on the wing in stall 14. So he's running his absolute face off to only get beat half a length and ahead. Now, he's much better drawn tonight, Ploughboy, than his main market rival and his old adversary. He's drawn stall 3, whereas Silk Cravat has got the coffin box in stall 14. So just based on that theory here, I've got a sneaky feeling that Ploughboy has got a good chance of turning the form around. He hasn't quite been getting 7 furlongs, Ploughboy, which is a little bit of a head-scratcher because he's very much a 7 furlong horse on the turf. But maybe a strong run 6 is what he wants. And like I say, at the price this morning, he's 6, or he's double the price of Silk Cravat, and I think he's got just as equal a chance. So quite a confident choice there to round us off the night there with Ploughboy each way in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again on Sunday when we're going to be taking a look at the 7 race programme at Thurles, beginning at 1:20. Until then, it's goodbye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.